will pull residents and say, oh, don't you listen to that person? That person's a liar.
Yeah.
This person's a dirty person. Yeah. This person's a bad person.
Crazy.
Who's that young lady from the apartments?
Veronica Lopez.
Veronica Lopez.
Oh, shit.
Numerous times I've been standing right there
yeah.
when she makes very nasty comments time after time.
All
after
right,
time.
Then maybe I got to start going to these meetings yeah. because people should not be making nasty comments
and, who put
and making
Veronica
accusations.
There? That I think is a very interesting choice.
Well, Veronica was a good choice. I mean, she worked very hard on the beach flats issue.
Now, how good a choice was Veronica Lopez? Scott, your view?
Well, I think they chose Veronica Lopez not only to try to get Sugar and Crone on board, but because Tim actually works with Veronica up at the university, and so I guess they have somewhat of a friendship, and so to get Tim, Christopher and Keith on board more with this project, they got her involved. But the problem is that Veronica is more I really don't understand her position on this. I'm not even sure if she has a position that she's stated yet.
Sure, it's whatever the council's position
right.
is.
Right, but I mean, I was hoping that maybe she was going to come in and actually do some activism while getting paid by the city and help turn around the situation, but instead, she's been one of the lead proponents of misinformation in this whole event.
What misinformation has she given out?
Well, one example is like James is going to point out here on the tape is that she told the tenants that if they come to our meetings in the garage...
The tenants' meetings, Residente Unidos.
...that they'll be breaking the law and could be arrested.
Oh, the theory being that because when more than a majority of a particular dutifully put together subcommittee gets together, that's a Brown Act violation.
Right, but I mean, it wouldn't be everybody that was there that could get arrested. It would only be the people that were on the actual city committee.
And it's unlikely that those would ever all get together at the same time, and certainly a smaller percentage of them could. She's also been accused of coming on the property at times which she's not supposed to, having private meetings with tenants in order to organize them individually. It might be, I mean, you might say, well, this is freedom of association, and she can come on the property and do this, except that when an individual comes onto the property with the authority and the financing of the city to organize a project that's going to that is essentially going to destroy housing for a certain percentage of the people there, and the people are organizing in self-defense, I think they have a legitimate interest in saying, whoa, hold it, what's going on here? And the question is, I note that she also was engaging in various forms of misinformation. She told Nena Ruiz, when she was a new member of the committee and only the only one from the Lee, that she didn't have the right to speak at oral communications. She attempted to shut down people who were at the meeting who were members of the public speaking on agenda items, which is usually an accepted practice in commissions. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, usually.
Yeah. There were other instances like that, which, and I guess she also gave a long deal at KZSC last weekend, I think it was last weekend or last week, in which she was supposedly posing as a person who was going to answer questions about the project. Whenever I would ask her a question, she would ask me for the answer. It was pretty, you know, I mean, I essentially dismiss her as a shill for the city.
Right.
And I think that's a sad thing because she, like other people, like Sandy Silver and Bernice Belton and I don't know about Elizabeth Vogel, but
well,
who were once part of the Beach South of Laurel plan, who opposed it, are now on board with this new plan to demolish the property or demolish the housing of the people who were the most verbal opponents of the Beach South of Laurel.
Right. I mean, that's one of the most disappointing things of this whole process is that it was because of the Beach South of Laurel plan that these three guys got into office.
Crone, Fitzmaurice, and Sugar.
And now they're turning around and using the same tactics that Rockin and Kennedy and Hernandez used during the whole beach area plan days. They're using those same tactics to try to push through this thing. And it's just as senseless. They're not building the plans as written today will not house the people that currently live there.
And it's even more disappointing that Veronica Lopez has become a paid bully for the city. because basically that's really what she's been many times. She bullies residents. She passes out misinformation. This is a person who should be supporting the residents and bringing hard questions. Instead, it's like suddenly she's getting money from the city, so she's their little paid ape.
Well, let's get back to the official city bully and see what he has to say.
I thought she played a very good role there. You know, I mean, if she's doing things that the tenants find offensive, I need to hear about
it. She warned them, the last meeting I was at, she warned them that they couldn't meet in large groups because of the Brown Act, that they could be put in prison.
Who couldn't meet in large groups?
The tenants. And then she tried
to... Yes, she did. Yes. I was there for that.
We were all there. And I called her on it, and I said... I said, that only applies to city council members. And she goes, oh, they misunderstood me. Veronica is full of little misunderstandings. And the fact that she was part of the beach area working group, I'm sorry, but I'm going to say something you're just going to hate right now.
Don't say it.
I'm going to say it anyway. I'm so tired of the Latinos that work for the city that are so proud to be affiliated with white people that they will not honor their own people's wishes. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the Martins, the Veronicas. Why can't they support their own people for once instead of feeling like they have to be with you? On your side.
Why do you say me? Why do you have to phrase it like that?
Because you're a city official.
Because
the city official.
Hang on a second, though.
Veronica said these men are good men. You have to believe them. The very first meeting I was at with you, Keith, and you were very disrespectful at that meeting. Yes, I called you Scott Kennedy. Do you remember in the trailer?
No.
God, your amnesia is severe.
No, I remember. You called...
You're severely handicapped.
You called Ken Fitzmaurice Scott Kennedy. I remember.
No.
I remember.
I said
Kim
Scott
not really Kennedy,
Kennedy
like.
One. Scott
I neither
Kennedy
am I, thank
two.
You.
That is what...
So, Scott, there seems to be a disagreement of memory here. Were you at that meeting?
Right. And what Roxanne said was, she said, Keith, you're at a point in your political career where you can either be like Robert Kennedy or you can be like Scott Kennedy. I'm sad to say that you're probably going to end up like Scott Kennedy.
And perhaps even worse than Scott Kennedy. Anyway, moving right along.
Where's my daughter? She's my recorder. Anyway, I'm just saying, like, why don't you guys get somebody in there that represents the best interests of the Latinos instead of Veronica's like, she's like anyone. She could be Seal Cirillo. She's just a brown Seal Cirillo.
What you need to do to get them back to the table, I think, is present a resolution in principle immediately at the redevelopment agency that says, while we're working on the specifics of the guarantees for relocation and eligibility requirements, we pledge ourselves to the following, and then pass it as a resolution. Perhaps this would persuade...
What is in the following?
I'm sorry?
Saying the following, what?
Saying, the resolution would say something like, the city pledges not to proceed with any purchase of the property until such time as relocation and return guarantees are satisfied for every single tenant.
I think that's a fine idea.
Good. Well, can you present it at the next redevelopment agency meeting? That's the question.
They're
going to have half.
And there it is, folks. You've heard Keith Sugar say, yeah, I'm going to present it at the next redevelopment agency meeting. The next redevelopment agency meeting is June 13th at 5 o'clock. Be on hand to see if Mayor Keith Sugar keeps his word. Or possibly you might have something better to do because... Well, I'm not going to second-guess him. Let's just see about that. Frankly, I think we have to say, unless, you know, what do you think, Scott? Is he going to keep his word on this one?
Well, the relocation committee voted in their last meeting to send Tim and Michael Hernandez back to the redevelopment agency with the demands, the list of demands for guarantees from the two letters, well, one letter and one petition, to the city council, and they're supposed to do that. And so if Keith is going to also want to have some sort of guarantees, then maybe it will be on the agenda. But right now I think they're going to try to do some damage control and keep this issue quiet for a little while until they can assess really how badly they're damaged and what they should do.
We only have about 5 minutes left in the show before we begin our sign-off music when with Uncle Dennis comes on with Earth First, which I encourage you to stay tuned for here on Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3. You're listening to Robert Norse, Scott Graham, and James Ney flaying the mayor and the redevelopment agency in the interests of the public, of course. I want to also point out before we go that we also learned a very disquieting bit of news from the mayor, which David Silva is now tracking down via the city attorney, the claim that there will be no action on the June 13th council meeting or possibly at the June 27th council meeting on sleeping ban repeal because of the need for a negative declaration of environmental impact. Any comments on that one, Scott?
Well, the thing is they can't, they're saying there's a 30 or 45 day period. They're going to have to hold a public hearing. And then that starts the ticker for the time period. They can't just put out a negative deck and say, well, we've been working on this negative deck for 45 days. They've got to hold a public hearing, and from the date of that public hearing, and when they issue the draft negative declaration, that's when the 45-day ticker starts.
Now, Scott, is this the case only for something that is actually going on the ballot, or is it true for any ordinance that's passed by the city council?
I'm not sure. It could be true for any ordinance passed by the city council, but it may apply only to things that they intend to go on to the ballot.
Now, because I know that David Silva suggested that Keith was looking into this, that he hadn't been aware of this, and then Silva at the time was a bit skeptical, suggesting here's an environmental attorney not aware of CEQA, not aware of an issue that was already coming up on the June 13th agenda. As you were saying, there was a court case which the city was actually looking at on the city council agenda.
Well, there was a request.
I'm sorry, the May 23rd agenda.
Right, there was a request for amicus curiae from another jurisdiction on a case that involved just that. The city put a development plan on the agenda, and the courts, and then they were taking the court over that, and the courts decided that if the city council put something on a ballot, then there's a need for a CEQA review. If it's done by voter initiative, then there is no need for CEQA review because that is the people doing it and the people have spoken.
But this has to do with the ballot. So theoretically, if they just pass the safe sleeping zones and the right to sleep at night in Santa Cruz as a ordinance, this might avoid that whole problem?
I'm not sure about that. It may, but it may not.
Well, and of course, David Silva, who often calls in on the show, it's really getting a little late for him to call in. Perhaps he can get back to us on the next show. We will be returning at 6 o'clock on Thursday evening from 6 to 8, and there are a couple of meetings coming up we want to let you know about before we get out of here. There is, of course, the Civic Center concert coming up. Actually, our next show isn't Thursday. This is Thursday.
Sunday.
It's Sunday at 11 o'clock. I'm a little bit behind myself. Apologize for that. And on Saturday night at the Civic Auditorium, there is a Safe Sleeping Band concert. And it looks like that's going to be Naked Ape, Dillagaff, Worm, and a whole bunch of other bands I've never heard of, those exploding crustaceans. Wow. That's going to be $12 in advance, $15 at the door, 8 to 12, with a special surprise guest speaker. We're not sure who that one's going to be. Who knows? Maybe Keith Sugar. I would be quite a surprise if he spoke there. Whoa, I would be really surprised. I'd probably demand my money back. Anyway,
You wouldn't pay, Robert.
Hopefully not, man. That's the voice of Uncle Dennis, I want you to know, and you're going to be hearing a lot of it in the next 2 hours, perhaps a little too much of it, but certainly better than the voice of Keith Sugar. And I got to say that here I am. Here's Keith giving me all this information, and here I am being so and taking all these snipes at him. Let's see what this caller has to say. Am I being a bad boy? Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Robert Merlin. Let's get better and take up about 20 minutes on the dentist time talking about nothing, man. Come on.
All right. anything quickly? Because I got to go.
No. Thanks for plugging the concert, though, buddy. It's gonna be good.
All right. I don't know what to say about that, except that Merlin frequently calls in, and a tip of the hat to you, Merlin. He'll be giving us more information in the weeks to come about the Capitola fight to retain rent control for trailers. And how about rent control, Scott, for Santa Cruz? How about some renter protection? I think old Keith and Tim and Chris, one thing he did say, Keith did last night, was, we got to wait till the next election. Do we have to wait till the next election to bring up this issue?
Well, that was everyone was told the last election. Well, wait till the next election, and wait till this election, and then all of our problems will be solved. And we've got just as many problems, if not more, now. And I think that, this whole thing that's happening with these tenants and the Dolphin and the Lee are a perfect example of just what kind of problems we have with the city government. It's not just an isolated incident. It's an across-the-board type problem.
As a final statement and encouragement to you out there, give a call to 420-5017. That's the city council number. And tell them it's time to get off the pot on the issue of the sleeping ban. They are now going to try to delay this thing until hell freezes over. It looks like we're going to need to set up a tent, whether it's in front of the Canfield Boardwalk or whether it's in front of City Hall, I don't know. But it looks like something is going to have to happen. Next week there is going to be, I believe it's on June 6th is when it is. Thank you. At 1 o'clock there's going to be a meeting of the homeless at the Homeless Resource Center. Hopefully people will be there to talk about what they want to do around this safe sleeping zone. I want to thank you for being with us on this edition of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. Encourage you to tune in again on Sunday at 11 o'clock and come on down to Residentes Unidos, 7 o'clock on Friday. That's tomorrow night at 124 Lee Brandt.
Take Robert right away here. Goodbye, Robert. Anyway, you're listening to